Thank you so much, Ben. What a great evening we're having. I'm not really normally a camper, but I've really enjoyed a lovely meal with Mark and Maddie over in their caravan over there. We had a lovely meal earlier on and just connecting up with people that I love and friends. I know so many of you, and I can't believe you've invited me back. What's going on there? I've got to make sure I don't bring a message that you've heard before. That's a big stressful thing, isn't it, Mark? When you go to so many places and you think, oh my gosh, but maybe if you've heard it before, you need to hear it again. Do you know, that's what preachers always say, isn't it? Heard it before, you need to hear it again because you weren't listening the first time. We haven't activated the message yet, have we, guys? So thank you so much for having me. We are excited. I'm so pleased Frank is with me as well. I think he was here anyway. He's definitely heard me before. He's heard all my messages. but I want to talk a little bit about moving in the spirit. It was just a suggestion, I think, of Allard. He came up with it, and I thought, I quite like it. I like that idea of moving in the spirit and about being a prophetic people, because I know as Synergy, you're so committed to the gifts of the Spirit. You've been waiting on the Lord. You believe that God speaks. Not all the churches are equally expectant, you know, around the nation that God speaks today. You go some places and you almost feel like you want to wake people up a little bit. But that isn't the case with you guys. You're waiting on the Lord. You're hearing from him. You're discerning what the Spirit is saying. And I really resonated with what was being said about breaking chains and setting captives free. And I do have a sense that you are in a season of warfare, actually, and I want to speak a little bit about that tonight, because how many of us know, and this isn't to frighten any of us, this isn't to say, oh, we're going to get really worried about what the enemy is doing, because we know the enemy is not co-equal to God. You know, God is all powerful. He is the creator. He is the one who created us and has a purpose and plan for his people and his church, which the gates of hell will not prevail against. But we also must be careful that we don't slip into the opposite end of the spectrum, where we don't actually recognise that there is an enemy at all, and we're so asleep that we don't understand what spiritual warfare is or how to combat the works of the enemy. So I do have a sense that God wants to speak to us a little bit tonight about spiritual warfare and what is authentic spiritual warfare, and how do we stand in that place when troubles are happening around us, as we've just been praying for Helen, and we want to understand how to pray, and we want to understand how to stand in the presence of God. So I hope that's helpful. And I want us to read together from God's word, and I'd love us to read it all out loud together, just to remind ourselves what God's word is saying to us this evening, and bedding in what God's word is speaking over us as our first evening together. So, surprise, surprise, I'm going to go with Isaiah chapter 61, and I'd love us to just read the first four verses together. You know it so well, probably off by heart, but let's read it together. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and the release of darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Amen. I love that passage because it talks about the divine exchange that God does in our lives. It talks about the oil of joy. It talks about the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. It talks about us, when we know Christ, what he is able to remove some of the heavinesses that we have on our lives, like we've been praying already tonight, breaking the chains, setting us free from heaviness and despair and replacing it with his joy and praise, so that we can really sense tonight a breakthrough in those situations that we are bringing before him. But it talks about the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon us, for he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. And what is that word preaching? I think it's interesting when we think about the word preaching, because we often think about the person who is standing at the front. You know, some of you guys probably leading churches, you're standing at the front preaching most Sundays. And that's the preacher, right? But actually, preaching is something that we all do. We are all preachers. We all have good news to share with people. When was the last time you shared some good news with maybe a colleague at work or maybe a friend or a neighbour? That is preaching. And more than that, preaching is not just about using words. Yes, there it is. That's what it means, to proclaim, to declare, exposition of the word, to evangelise, to announce. But also, it's about our acts of compassion. That is just as much preaching as the words that we use. Some people might even say it's better preaching, because people are attracted to Christ through the way that you live your life, which I think is really exciting, because when we can display joy to those around us and people ask us for the reason, that for the hope that we carry, we can tell them about Jesus. When we visit somebody who's sick, when we maybe help a neighbour with some shopping, or even just send a nice thank you card to somebody, it enables us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because we all know, don't we, that the gospel is good news. So we need to tell our faces that the gospel is good news and let people see it in our lives. One of the most powerful things that we ever did in our city of Manchester, when I first started what was called Prayer Network, which is the City Changing Prayer Book, is based on the experience that we had over 7 years of gathering all the churches of different denominations and streams to come together to pray. One of the most powerful experiences we had was we decided to pray for the police. And we put police posters up in all the police stations across the city. So we had these posters printed. They said, we want to say thank you to you for all the amazing work that you do. We want to tell you that we're praying for you, that we want to pray for your protection. We want to pray for your family. We want to say thank you for looking after vulnerable people and keeping our city safe. And we got different churches to get the posters printed and take them into the local police station. It was absolutely amazing. A police officer who now works for me, called Phil Gleave, who some of you have met, was a 30-year police officer with Greater Manchester Police. He told me, he said, Deborah, you don't understand how cynical police officers are. Maybe because of the stuff that they've experienced, it makes them a bit hard to reach. He said, let me tell you, not one single police station refused to put up that poster. They didn't think it was a really girly thing, you know, that we wanted to say thank you to you and we want to pray for you. Some of them were in tears, and not one poster was ever defaced. And a number of years later, we had alpha courses at 5 police stations across the city. It starts with a simple little word of saying thank you to somebody. It doesn't have to be a police officer, it could be a teacher. They deserve our thanks. It could be one of your local shopkeepers or a nurse or anybody in the street. Me just randomly go around saying thank you to people. They might think you're a bit crazy, but it's good. So it's preaching from our hearts. It's sharing something encouraging for somebody else. That's it. Let's just do that. Let's spend the rest of this year doing that, and that's our evangelism. It works because Jesus is in you and he's shining his light out of you. So I just want us to think about preaching. I want us to think that we're all preaching and that we do it in many, many different ways. And it releases you to just be yourself. And there's a fresh anointing coming on the church, you know, for sharing the good news in lots of different ways. Like we have so many powerful things happening in our nation at the moment that points people to Jesus. We've got ministries like Christians Against Poverty, CAP, debt counselling, job-seeking, job clubs, all sorts of practical ways of helping people. Are any of you involved in that ministry at all? Give me a wave. Or you've got that in your church? One or two people. And then you've got things like food banks. You've got street pastors. You've got street angels. And my friend who's just become one of our trustees of Rock is called Paul Blakey. He leads something called Christian Nightlife Initiatives. They've got street angels and they've got festival angels. And they go to all the secular festivals that your young people attend or that many young people that you know go to these festivals, and they just give out flip-flops, they give out water, they help people when they've had too much to drink or taken drugs, just to give them a safe place to be at these festivals that probably none of us will ever frequent. Okay, they're just nice little angels that go around doing good things for people. So these are the kinds of practical ways that we can be involved. And how many of you in church are involved in some kind of outreach like that within what you've got, a drop-in cafes, you've got toddler groups, you've got lunch clubs? Give me a wave. So that's fantastic. That's preaching. And that's really, really exciting. And God is releasing keys. And I just want to tell you a couple of stories tonight that I hope might encourage us to start thinking about us being a spirit-led people, a spirit-led movement, that when we hear the Spirit speaking to us, and I'm hoping that we're listening and trusting him that he is speaking, that we begin to move out in faith. And then I'll just share a little bit about spiritual warfare. So I want to share a story with you about something that happened to me when I was speaking at a conference in Glasgow. I was speaking at a conference called Calling the City Back to Life, which is a fantastic conference for me to speak at because that's what I'm really passionate about. Calling a City Back to Life. And it was at Queen's Park Baptist Church in Glasgow. And as we were preparing to go, I was going with my prayer partner, Wendy. Now, Wendy is also suffering with cancer at the moment, and it's been a battle that we've been having going on for the last couple of years. So I've really tuning in to how to pray for people in this kind of situation. But a couple of years ago, she went with me to this conference, and she was praying before we left, and she said, "Deborah, I just feel like I need to get hold of some keys." So I said, "What do you mean you need to get hold of some keys?" She said, "I've been down to Timpson's, the shoe place, and I've asked them, have they got any spare keys that they can give me? And they've given me this big bag of keys. So I just feel like you're going to take these keys with you to this conference, and God is going to start releasing things amongst the people." So I thought, she's one of these intercessors, my friend Wendy. She's a little bit wacky, a little bit crazy, but I know she hears from God. So I absolutely really trust her because her track record is 100%. She hears from God. And so I take these keys along to Glasgow and we're doing this conference and I just sort of said, look, this is just symbolic. These keys are just symbolic. Don't worry about them. I said, we're going to pray for people. We're going to give you a key, just a random key out of the bag. And be blessed with it. Keep it in your Bible. Put it in your handbag. And it will remind you of what the Lord has said to you today. And we gave out some prophetic words and we gave these keys. The next morning, I was back in the church preaching. And I think there's a picture of the key that we gave out at the Baptist Church, the Queen's Park Baptist Church, up on the screen, if you can see it. And this lady, she's an asylum seeker who hadn't been in Glasgow for very long, from a really broken background. Her background was absolutely heartbreaking. And she was at the point of just complete brokenness. She'd lost her family and everything. She'd been being looked after by this church. And she came walking to the front and I was standing waiting to preach. And she said, she had a fist clenched like this. And she said, I just want to explain to you that you gave me a key yesterday at the conference. And she opened her hand and that was the key that was there on the screen. I took a photograph of it because I just couldn't believe what God had done. And she said, I was at the point of just thinking I had to just give up because I've lost everything. I just don't know whether God really was watching out for me or caring for me in any way. And I was at a complete lowest point. When I came to the conference yesterday, I got this key. And she said, what I want to tell you is that the four initials, MSBB on the key, engraved on the key, they are my initials. And I was like, what do you mean? This is just symbolic. Right, this is something that you're just going to take away and remember it as thing. No, she said, that's actually my name. Those are my initials. And I was like, so Lord, you know her name. So the Lord, what the Lord was doing was showing her, I love you. I haven't forgotten you. I know what you're going through. I know what you've been through. And I know your name. And we know the Lord knows our name. But when he reveals it in such a powerful way, it was just absolutely mind-blowing. And I started to see that the Lord was releasing keys that were very, very personal to those situations. They may not have all been as dramatic as that one, but absolutely, it just got my attention. What is God doing? What is God doing with his church? How is he using us to release keys into people's lives? A few months after that, we were launching Rock at the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow. And because we'd blessed Queen's Park Baptist Church, they offered to do the catering for us for the conference. So we had about 1,500 people at the launch of Rock in Glasgow. And as we were preparing for the evening, we were backstage and these lovely people from Queen's Park were doing all the catering for the staff and the stewards and everything. And this lady, a different lady, came running up to me and she said, oh, Deborah, I was at the conference 3 months ago and you gave me a key. I just want to tell you what has happened with this key. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, not another one. I haven't got a picture of this one because I was so excited. I didn't have time to take a photograph of it. And she said, I'm a school teacher. I'm a primary school teacher. And I went to the conference on the Saturday. On the Monday, I go into my classroom. And she said, the kids know that I'm a Christian. I've told them that I'm a Christian. And she said, the interesting thing is, she said, in our classroom, we have got a cupboard and we've lost the key. Oh, I started to really, my heart was racing as she's telling me a story. I'm literally panicking at this point. What is she going to say? She said, and we've lost the key. And it's a lovely cupboard and we don't want to break into it. So we kind of just left it there as a piece of furniture. It was not functional. And she said, I just had this surge of faith. Oh, please don't have a surge of faith. She said, I just have this surge of faith. And she said, children, I've been to a conference at the weekend and this lady gave me a key and it's in my bag. And I believe that that key is going to open that cupboard. She gets the key out of her bag. She's walking across the room to the cupboard. And she said, put the key in. My hands were trembling, she said, but I put the key in. And I just said, in Jesus' name. And she opens the cupboard with this random key that we'd given her on the Saturday. And that the faith of that lady is what impresses me the most. I don't think I would have had the faith to do that with the key. Just keep it in your bag. Or put it round your neck or something, but don't try and open any cupboards with it. But the faith of people when we speak prophetically into each other's lives, that we have a word that will unlock their situation. We had this guy called Sam, who was 17 years old, and we were teaching on prophecy at the Message Trust Academy. And this story is in my book, Mountain Moving Prayer, so you need to buy the copy. So we said, let's prophesy over a few people because we're talking about prophecy. So we get this lad Sam up, and he was really, really shy. And he couldn't even look at us or anything, so we're praying over him. And you... any of you who've got a prophetic gift, you might be able to relate to this, you really start to panic because you think, if God doesn't say anything now, what am I going to say? Because you don't always have loads of stuff if you're a prophetic person. You only can really give people what God gives you. And if God doesn't speak, you're just like a stuffed dummy stood at the front, you know. So we're prophesying over Sam. And I said to him, I really believe that you've got a unique gift, Sam. I thought, what is going to come out of my mouth next? I said, I think you're a poet. And he went, he just looked at me, just stared at me, but he didn't either smile or shake his head or anything. He just stared at me. And I said, not only are you a poet, because you know you get yourself in deeper, don't you? And this is one of these prophecies, either right or wrong, right? It's not, oh, God loves you. Just start out with that one if you're starting out in prophecy. Oh, God loves you. You can't go wrong. Because guess what? We already know that. Because in God's word, God really loves you. And God really, really loves you. But this is either right or wrong. You're a poet. And not only that, you're going to have several books of poems published. Oh, gosh, why did I just say that? Why did I say that? And Wendy's nodding and jumping up and down. Well, she obviously agrees. And I'm like this. So he said nothing. And we're praying over the next. But I thought, I don't know. I need to know whether this is right or wrong. But I kind of didn't want to know. But I bumped into him the next day. And I said, please give me some feedback. And I started to apologise. And I'm like, now I know that sometimes we get it wrong as prophets. And, you know, and if it was wrong and if it was the flesh, please forgive me. No. He said, hang on a minute. I've not said anything yet. He said, since I was 3.5 years old, I've been writing poems. And they're all in a box, a shoebox under my bed. And he said, not even my parents know that I write poems. And I never would have the courage to show those poems to anybody. But my grandma is a poet and has had several poetry books published, and it's something that I've wanted to do since I was a little boy. So last night, I got my box out from under my bed and I showed it to my mum and dad. I was so blessed. The keys that God has put within you to unlock lives, and not only, of course, those who already know the Lord, but the community and the people around us that don't know about this amazing God who loves them and has a plan and purpose for their life, we speak life into these dry bones. We speak life and we bring people into hope. We put people into courage. We put people into hope by these prophetic, I could tell you at least 10 other key stories, but I haven't, stories about keys, I might tell you on tomorrow. I haven't got time to tell them tonight. Isn't God incredible that he speaks prophetically? And there's just a couple of little stories about people whose lives have been changed when people who love them and bring them into church. And there's a lady called Caroline, and I think her picture is there, and she's given me permission to tell her story. This lady actually lived next door to a church in Brakemet, or does live next door to a church in Brakemet, Bolton, but she'd never been in the church. This lady has 7 children, all to different men. And her husband, she's also a victim of domestic violence, not only from the men that she's been in relationship with, but her own father used to lock her in a cupboard under the stairs when she was 7 years old and give her dog biscuits to eat. Things that you wouldn't believe had gone on in her life. And I have to say that sadly, she's not alone. There's many people that have been treated in that kind of way. Probably 1 in 4 people in our nation are victims of domestic violence. I work with the police. I've seen some of the things that go on in people's lives, not just women, men as well. And it's horrific. And she was walking past the church one day, and the minister, a lady called Mandy, walked down the driveway of the church and just spoke to her and said, "You live next door to us. Would you like to come in and have a look round?" And she said, "I'm not good enough to go into a church." And Mandy said, "Well, I don't know who's told you that, but you are very welcome and I'd love to show you around. Just come in and have a coffee." So she went in. And the short story is that Mandy built up a friendship with Caroline and eventually offered her a job to run the tuck shop at the Rock Cafe, which is our youth club that happens there every evening. And as soon as Mandy offered her that job, it was only a couple of hours a day running a tuck shop, Caroline burst in tears and said, "Do you mean you would trust me with the cash tin to run the tuck shop at the church?" Nobody had ever offered her anything like that before. And it was healing in her life. And it was a really funny story because she eventually brought her along to a prayer meeting that I was leading. And Caroline isn't a Christian and had never heard the gospel before. And we were praying for Mandy, who also had cancer. And Mandy was slain, what some people call slain in the spirit, but was slumped in the spirit and fell to the ground. And Caroline thought I'd killed her. She was like, "I've killed my best friend, Mandy." No, don't worry. She's just resting in the spirit. And at the end of that day, Caroline gave her life to Jesus Christ. It's just incredible when we offer people. And another quick story, and there's a photograph here of this young boy in the blue who his father's in prison. He's a few years older now. This photograph is a few years old, but his father's in prison. His brother was in prison. He was going down the same route. He's a latchkey kid. He's got no dad at home, dad in prison, mum working 2 jobs to try and make ends meet. He has to do all his own, make all his own food, just find stuff in the house to eat. He started going to the youth cafe that we run in Stockport, and he made best friends with PCSO John Gallagher standing behind him. John just goes in there every week in his own time as a police officer, plays pool, plays football, chats to him. Now that boy wants to become a police officer. And his life has completely been transformed. And he said, "It's the living room I don't have at home." And one of the things that really impacts me is that our shared experience as church is often, not always, but often, that we have had a living room at home. We have had parents or people who've cared for us and loved us.
and maybe had family evenings like we used to have, where we'd watch a film together or play board games or simple things like that. And you felt like you had a living room. You felt like you could hang out together as family. Many people in our nation today have not got that experience. Even a lot of the social workers are telling me that people haven't got a dining room or they haven't got a dining table, so they don't have meals together at all. And when you think about it, that's the heart, really, of family life, isn't it? Where we share a meal and we chat together. So I just want us to be thinking about some ways in which God can speak prophetically through you as you move in the Spirit into these situations around you. And then I just want to tell you a very personal story about many of you know we've got 4 children, 2 girls, 2 boys, and our son Josh. And there's a photograph there as well on the screen of Josh, me in the middle, Josh and my daughter Sarah. I'll just tell you a quick story about this situation, which has taught me a lot about prayer and warfare in my own family context. Because we can talk about other people that we meet, we can talk about our friends and our neighbours, but when it hits us at home, when something happens at home or with our kids or with those close to us, that's often when warfare is most difficult. And this scripture that we've read together says that God will give us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And praise is a weapon. Praise is actually, we go into the throne room to praise. We don't often feel like praising when we're in a difficult situation. But when we choose praise, the spiritual atmosphere changes. And I'm not just talking about the guys that lead in worship at the front. When we put on praise, when we speak out praise, even if you can't sing or anything, you praise and spiritual atmosphere changes. So about 10 years ago, our son Josh, he's a preacher's kid, you know, mum and dad leading a church in Manchester. And he's been to church every day, every Sunday of his life, twice, usually on a Sunday. He knows how to run the church himself. When he was about 15 years old, he's been to church that much. When he was about 17, his personality started to change. And he started to hang around with people that we didn't want him to hang around with, drinking, going out, getting drunk. He became really moody. He became like non-communicative with me and Frank. He didn't want to talk to us anymore. He dropped out of college. He got a job in a call centre. We just seemed to see his life going spiralling down, and we didn't know what was going on. So we started to pray. But to be honest, we were lacking faith, because what we were seeing in front of us was really, really bad. And one day I was at the house, I'd just been speaking at a conference, a women's conference. I was really excited about what God had done. I got home and it was only me and Josh in the house, and all of a sudden there's 2 police officers knocking at the door. And they weren't coming to see me about redeeming our communities. They were coming to arrest our son, put him in handcuffs. You know, putting him in the car at the front of our house, and all the neighbours are out looking, where they all know we're Christians on our road and where we shared the gospel and had them round for mince pies and stuff. And there they are, locking it, taking our son away. I wasn't even allowed to go with him. Frank was out somewhere, so I didn't know where Frank was. And I just started to panic. And I did not start praising. I don't want you to think that. I just went into a pity party, and I was really flattened and really low by the whole situation. And my daughter Sarah came round, and she saw that I was crying, and she said, "Mum, what has happened?" And I told her, and she said, "Mum, why aren't you praying?" I thought, "You cheeky madam, asking me why I'm not praying. I taught you all these things and now you're preaching it back to me." which of course is fantastic. She was right, but I didn't feel like it. And she dragged me, literally screaming and kicking, said, we are going to pray. And she's a worship leader, and she said, we're going to worship, and we are going to worship until something changes. I was like, I know she's right, but it's really hard. So we go into the conservatory, we start to worship, and she said, Mum, get all your prayer journals out, get all your notes out of what you've had over Josh when he was a little boy, and I hope you keep notes, I hope you keep a journal, because or start doing it, because then you can really rejoice when you start to see answers to prayer. Write things down that God says to you, write it down and commit it to memory, because you will forget some of these things. And so we got them out and we started to worship and we started to pray and we started to sing these songs. And we talked about the fact that Josh, we felt that Josh was going to be an evangelist because he was so gifted as a boy. What had happened to him? So he's locked up for the weekend. On the Monday, Frank went to court with him, and because it was his first offence, he was given a conditional discharge and came home. And he walked through the front door and he was completely different from how he'd left. He was soft, he was broken, he was like, back to my son again. He threw himself on the floor in the hallway and he said, Mum, please, can you forgive me? I said, of course I'll forgive you, you're our son. No, he said, you don't understand, please, can you forgive me? Please, can you give me another chance? I said, yeah, Josh, of course, we'll do that. I said, but what's happened to you? What has changed you? And he was sobbing. He was like a little baby. And he said, I was so scared. I was locked up. I was in Longsight Police Station. I didn't know where they'd taken me. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I started to reflect on how my life had gone so badly wrong and all these friends that had led me astray that now didn't want to know me and ran away when the police were there. And he said, and I just started to weep, and I just got on the floor, and I just got down on my knees, and I just said, Lord, if you will give me another chance, just give me another chance, just forgive me and give me another chance, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my days, and I'm going to tell other young people about you. And he said, as he said that, the whole place was like flooded with presence of God, which he knew was God. It just came straight around him, and just the Father's love just surrounded him. And then he just said, I knew that God was with me. And he said, and thank you so much for coming to sing outside this cell. I'm like, what? So says, so no, Josh, that you got that bit wrong. We didn't know. I didn't even know where you were. And then he said it again. I heard your voice. I know your voice, Mum. And I heard another voice. And I'm like, no, Josh, you've got this wrong. You must have been hearing things. And then he said it again. And then I suddenly knew what he was saying to me. So from 5 miles away, from Longsight Police Station to our house in Sale Moor, the Holy Spirit communicated my voice and Sarah's voice singing praise over our son Josh. Wow. Now that is the most awesome miracle I've ever experienced. And like, I still can hardly believe it when I tell it. I sometimes think to myself, is this really true? But I know it is true. And Josh was sharing this today in another place. The Father was singing over him. And I realized as well a really important lesson for us parents and as now grandparents, 7 grandchildren. You cannot be with your children 24/7, but Jesus is. And he knows their situation and he's singing over their situation until such a time as they give him permission to come back in. or till such a time that the Holy Spirit is able to communicate with your child or those that you love and care about who've wandered away, that he has got a better plan for their life. It's only a matter of time. The Holy Spirit is singing over. And then he came back to his senses. He got a job, actually, at the Message Trust. Bless Andy Hawthorne for giving him a chance. We'll always be very grateful to Andy, because we told Andy he had a criminal record, and Andy let him in. Frank actually started working for them on the same day as Josh. And Josh joined something called the Genetic Academy. He, after a few weeks, he was... got off with a guy who's from America, who they collaborated to do some music together. They formed a band called 1224, and within a few months they were in schools singing and speaking to young people, doing assemblies. And the guy who was supposed to be preaching dropped out. Andy asked Josh if he would do it. He preached, and about 35 young people came forward and gave their life to Christ. So I remembered what I'd said about him being an evangelist. So his core identity is that he was an evangelist, but the enemy tried to make him into something else. And one of the things that I think is so important that we do with our loved ones and those in our church and those in our network and our sphere is to look for what is their calling in Christ. What is it that they're gifted to do? Why are they here on planet Earth? Because that will be the thing that the enemy seeks to divert them away from. He will try to give them another idea or another kind of thing. And I think with warfare, what we're doing is we're going into the enemy camp and we are taking back what has been stolen from us. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life in all its fullness or abundant life. That's his plan versus the enemy plan to kill, steal and destroy the vision or the calling that is over that person's life or over your life. And that there are a few people here that need to hear that. You've got a calling, you've got a gifting, and there's another plan that is second best for you. Get back on God's plan, because God's plan is the best plan for you and your loved ones. So I think with prayer and with writing down the words that the Holy Spirit is giving you prophetically, when you've heard from the Lord, either for yourself or for someone else, it's around praying that prayer of agreement like I had to do with Sarah over fighting for Josh and like we were doing with Help for Helen earlier on. So just to finish with, I want to share you just one more story about a lady called Christina. And this is a lady that I met when I was speaking at the Pioneer couple of churches have a camp like you do in Dover. Glow Gen Church, a New Gen Church, part of the Pioneer Network. I was speaking at their camp. And just as I was about to leave, this lady called Christina came up to me and said, Deborah, I just really need to talk to you. I said, okay. We needed to get on the road, but I knew this was important. She said, you need to know my name is Christina. And I said, yeah, you've already said that. That's fine. And she said, no, you really need to know my name is Christina. And I said, okay, your name is Christina. I'll never forget it. And we're in Dover, and it was a Sunday. And she said, a year ago, you came to preach at our church in Ramsgate. I said, yeah, I remember it. And she said, I was in the congregation with my four foster kids. Two sitting to my right, two sitting to my left. They never sit still. They never stop talking. You know, it's a really difficult situation. She said, my husband's not a Christian. He hates me going to church. He argues with me all week, tries to stop us from going. And then I get there and she said, I've got these four kids who don't want to be there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here?
Mum, can we go home yet?
They don't want to be here. She said, I don't hear the sermon because they're too rowdy. And she said, I got to the point. She said, I sat there in church that day you were preaching and I said to the Lord, this is the last time I am ever going to church. She said, I'm categoric, the last time. She said, God's doing nothing to help me in my situation. It's really, really bad. And she said, and you're preaching, and the only bit that the kids listened to was when you said about your son, Josh, being in a band called 1224. And I said, let's play one of the tracks. And just at that point, it was the only time they were quiet, because it's like they're like rappers and, you know, it's that kind of music. You might not like it, but these kids absolutely loved it. And they put the track on, and the track's called Higher. And they were playing it at the big church day out today. The track's called Higher, and halfway through the song, and you can go on YouTube and you can type in 1224, Higher, and you can listen to it and play it to your kids and see if they like it. Halfway through the track, there's a random lyric in it, and it says, Christina, take them to church. Seriously, like, you hear the song and you think, why on earth are they saying that? It's just really, really random. Christina, take them to church. And she said, I nearly fell off my seat. I just said to the Lord, I'm not taking them to church ever again. So she said, however difficult it is, I'm going to carry on taking them to church. And today in Dover, my four sons, foster sons, are all being baptized in the sea. And my husband is coming to watch. How good is God? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your prophetic word. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us tonight to preach the good news. Would you fill us, Lord, with that expectation that our churches are going to be able to speak prophetically to ourselves and to our communities in such a way to bring people to Christ. Lord, where we're struggling, Father, help us not to give up on church, because church are the ones who are going to help us live our lives in Godward best direction that he has for us. And maybe the band are going to come back out and join us, and I don't know how long we've got. I'm sensing we've probably run out of time, but let's just pray for a few minutes. Are we all right, Ben? I just want to pray, Lord, that for those, first of all, who have got maybe family members, loved ones, friends, partners who are away from the Lord right now, if you're bold enough maybe just to raise a hand, because I know it's going to be a lot of people. And as we raise our hand, I'm just going to pray a prayer. Lord, you know every person by name and who we're lifting up before you. Some of us have got more than one. And Lord, we're praying in Jesus' name that they might understand the love that you have for them right now, and that you would sing over them the Father's song. And put other good people around them who will speak words of life into them. Often it's not the parents, it's not those that are closest to them. Maybe it's someone else that God puts across their path. But Lord, would you bring them to a place of knowledge of you? And Father, would you equip us as your church tonight to move in the Spirit? To move in the Spirit, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is fullness of joy, there is fullness of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to ask us maybe if we could just be open tonight to be refilled with his Spirit. We all need to be refilled with his Spirit, because we leak, because we run dry, because we're busy people, and because we get tired and we get weary. And maybe we're in a battle, and maybe some of us are disappointed. Maybe you even feel disappointed with God. Just be honest. He knows about it already. So let's, Lord, just come and fill us afresh with your Spirit tonight, so that we can go away, back home to our home situations, and bring life. So anyone who's tired or weary, just come to the Lord. Let's have the altar here is open, just down here at the front. If you want to come and stand and just wait, and as we worship, just receive the Lord, and some of us will come round and pray over you. Let's just be open as the family of God tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you.